6 p.m. And I will establish a quorum, please.
Kathy Aiken present.
Cindy Bright present.
Stu Martinez present.
Brenda Scott present.
Karen Ward present.
And the mayor's here. We're all present. This time we'll have our Pledge of Allegiance, and I'd ask Jim to lead it for us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jim. We must have some added agenda items.
Nope, you got to get to say that.
Nope, we're out of here early.
Oh, doctor.
Plus, we already had you here for 2 hours. 2.5 hours.
You're saying all the right stuff.
Hearing none, we'll proceed to the consent agenda. Are there any comments on the consent agenda? Is there a motion to approve this consent agenda?
So moved.
It's been moved?
I'll second that.
And seconded. Is there any further discussion? You don't have a check?
I don't see one.
Okay. I thought she said it was wrong.
If there is, I'll just, Mr. Mayor, I need to state a possible conflict of interest with what we've heard.
Thank you very much. It's noted. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. At this time, we will have public comment. Is there any public comment for this evening at this time? We'll have a public comment later also, after you've heard everything. Item number 7 is review of financials for the City of Lapine. Brenda.
Yeah,
I'll
sit right
please.
Up here. Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Good evening.
I think most everybody knows me. I'm the contract accountant for the city. I do basically kind of the reconciling and the closing and those kind of things, just to put some segregation of duties into your system. So it works out pretty well.
Yeah, I just asked her how she thought it was going. This was an experiment, and we're at it about, how long have we done this?
It might be about a year now.
Yeah, and so you let us know. I mean, it's actually worked well. We didn't know. Brenda said, let's try it. So, you know, Ashley enters things and does the stuff she has. But then, so if we have a, first of all, a CPA that works privately for a firm that she's a partner in, and she audits other districts and cities. So she's on the audit side. She comes down when she's needed several times a month, but it might be only 3 times. It just depends. Mm-hmm. And then if we're doing budgets more. But then that's a whole different set of eyes looking at everything. She does the journal entry. So if we've entered something that needs to be altered, she does that.
Right.
And so it really adds that segregation. And so we get a high quality person for, you know, you can't afford to have it full time. I'll say, well, there wouldn't be anything to do.
Right. There's not an, it really is. Ashley does the bulk of the work. What I do is I come in and reconcile it and answer questions she might have. I help a lot with the budget, and then I do kind of run the audit for the auditors. They come in and I help them. So it's really kind of almost seasonal, you know. Yeah. I'll do a lot of work in January, February, and then I come back in July and do a lot of work. Other than that, you know, 8 to 10 hours a month, maybe. So yeah, it worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
Okay. You certainly don't need a full-time this position. Okay. So you all have the financial summary. With the first page, that is total resources, budget to actual, there at the top. Okay. So the way this is set up, most of you are familiar with, is we have the year-to-date actuals, we have the budget, we have a column for budget remaining in dollars, and then we also have a percentage. And this is good information because it gives you an idea if we're a quarter way through the year, which we were, in September. Are we a quarter of the way through our revenues? And it's more important on the expenditure side, which we'll get to, but you'll see that it does stay pretty well in that way. What you will notice is property taxes are not 25%, and that's because of the timing of property taxes, which I've mentioned. You're going to see pretty much 100% of them, 90% of them received in November. So that's just the way the property tax calendar goes. So other than that, and then franchise fees, I noticed, I did make a note, they look like they're not quite 25%, but it's because they're collected quarterly, so they're a little bit off, and you did receive 35,000 of those in October, put you right back on track of what was budgeted. So the other thing that we do is to kind of show you this pie chart where the funds come from. And right now at this point in time, on September 30th, the bulk of your revenues came for charges for services, which are, you know, mostly utility. Some of the, what are those fees called?
Not
fees? No, the development. Those are charges for, planning. So that's some in there, but it's the bulk of it's the water and sewer. Property taxes will make a bigger piece of the pie once those November collections are in. Does anybody have any questions on the revenue piece, the overall high-level view? Okay. Page 2 breaks this down into a lot more detail. It's by fund what you're collecting. And so you can see, like what I had mentioned, down at the bottom in the water and the sewer fund, you see those large charges for services. Right now, at 25% through the year, that's the biggest collections you've got. Got some franchise fees in the general fund. And then, of course, we talked about property taxes. Just give me a second to digest that if anybody has any questions on. It's a lot of information to digest, but.
So the beginning fund balance under the general fund, budget remaining?
Well, and the reason that is because that's just that's an estimate when you do the budget. Okay. You don't know what it is because you don't have the whole year done and we don't have the audit adjustments. So as soon as we get the audit, we'll know what the real year to date is. There will still be a variance there because the budget is an estimate.
Right.
But we want it to be going this way.
When we do then, I have to start build that in April.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing what we're going to spend in April,
May, June. Yeah.
And you have to guess, you know, what's coming in plus what we're spending, because this is what's carried over on June 30th.
Right.
And we don't know it was, if you look at the first page, it was like 104% or 103%. So I'm like, that's within 3%.
That's pretty good.
If that was 98%, that would mean that we had 2% less starting money than we thought we would, and then that could cause you trouble. So at the same time, you don't want it to be 150% or something, some weird. I try to sit and I calculate the power bill.
It's pretty good.
It's
the
pretty
best
close.
You can do.
Yeah.
And I was a little worried that it could hit at 100, or I was afraid of being 99 something. Because you're always just nervous about that. Mm-hmm. So I was very glad that it's 100.
Yes, it's good.
And the other thing that's called the motel tax, if you look at this one or whatever, but we're at 32%. So, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So maybe with the new motel rooms, again, you're kind of guessing how busy they're going to be and what they're charging per night. That goes up as motels are busier. So, another interesting thing there, I had budgeted we'd have 58,000 to carry over, and looks like maybe it was 82, if that holds, correct?
Which fund?
Tourism.
Tourism, okay.
So we're actually at 142% on that particular one.
Yeah, on that particular one, it ended up being quite a bit higher at the point.
So we may end up with some extra in that for next year.
Yeah.
Community development, that's our first real kind of year, and I budgeted low, because that depends on development. And before the county did it, so we were trying to. And then those water sewer ones, you'll see they're more closer, 100%, 100%, 101%, because that's easier to figure.
So in that community development, charges for services, We budgeted 15 and we're looking at 19?
No. Well,
we budgeted
4.
Right, you budgeted...
4 of income.
Oh, no, in the trust reserve is right below that, yeah, the 15. And so far, as of September, we'd only charge 1,900. That one's kind of a rough one to talk about through the year because it could be 1 month you get all of it. It just depends on... So...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one that we just don't know.
What is the inter-fund transfers in represent again, please?
You want me to take that, or
yeah.
You want to talk? Okay. Those are so the inter-fund transfers in and out. Those are transfers between funds. So, for example, and you'll see on the expenditure side, you'll see the other side of that, the mirror of that transferring out. So, what happens is a lot of this. Let's use water and sewer for an example. Some of the money in water and sewer gets transferred out into the reserve fund. And so the only revenue that the reserve fund's going to have is a transfer in because you're trying to build a reserve. So that's what happens, is what you have to do for budget. For budget purposes, you have to put it into a different fund by doing a transfer. It's not a real revenue, so you can't call it a revenue. So these are areas where, let's say, the general fund might have money that they are required to put into the tourism fund, for example. But the best example I can think of is the water and sewer, when they do an annual transfer into the reserve fund to build up for future capital projects. And Rick's kind of building that every year, and you might want to talk about that a little bit, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's just money moving between funds. So we have $5,000 unrestricted in the tourism fund that we can use for non-transit room tax stuff because we spend it on things. And you'll notice it has, if you go to that one, it says transfer in $5,000. That's coming out of the general fund. When we come to the general fund, it's going to show other numbers, but it'll show in that number that if we have them both sitting here. I mean, you'll go to that next. But so that's money we transferred it out of our general fund, put it in the tourism fund. So that's transferred in. The $350,000 for highway roads, that came out of the general fund and we put it in the street fund. And so money moves around. The other thing is charge so much of my salary is paid for by sewer and water, so that's transferred in the general fund.
Actually, we allocate it as expenditure.
When they charge, we don't do it that way.
Right.
The money coming in on the general fund for transfer in says 60. A lot of that would be rent, like on the building. There's the water sewer helps pay for the light, things like that.
Okay.
And under Oregon law, you can do that, but you got to make sure it's fairly accurate. You can't go out, because what some cities in Portland got in trouble. They'll take $5 million out of the water fund to go buy a park,
right.
And the water fund users filed suit against them. So it has to be.
And your water and sewer transfers are going into a water and sewer reserve fund for capital projects. So there's no problem there. So
Okay.
So any other questions on that?
Bottom lines were, well, obviously at this point, you know more at the 6 month mark when you get your property taxes, but we're on income side, we're fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so third page, total expenditures, there's an overall view there at the top. And again, we're at 25%. We've got the first is the year-to-date expenditures, then the budget, and the budget remaining. Now, the one that you want to make sure stays in that 25% really is personnel services, in my opinion, because you want that to, you don't want to see that slipping into 50% when only a quarter of the year's gone by, because you make over budget. So that looks pretty good. Materials and services as well, although there is some timing things, you don't know, something gets broken here or there and it maybe doesn't happen perfectly 25% throughout the year. And the same with capital outlay. Just because we're only at 1.2%, those projects tend to happen later in the year. They don't really happen in the winter. So that's what we're seeing is those will be, as far as when the project starts, you'll start seeing that number move a little bit. So the most useful, I think, for you to keep an eye on as far as expenditures and making sure it's elapsing with the elapsing of the year is the personnel services. You want to keep an eye on that. And we're looking really good on that. We haven't made any of the debt service payments simply because they haven't been due. The first one's due in November. So you'll see that on the November statements. You'll see that.
So what is Do you know, Rick, just right off the top of your head, what the capital outlay represents? I mean, we must have planned something.
It's all kinds of, my guess is, it's probably public works. And also, it would be water sewer.
Oh, okay.
Because that's everything.
Yeah, mostly
We don't know what we're going to have to buy there, if you're buying pipes or pumps.
But out of the general fund, do we buy that?
Well, this is,
don't they
this
have
is
their
combined.
Because this is combined all the whole government, so that's...
This is water, sewer, streets,
yeah.
Everything.
Yeah,
even, and anything we do at City Hall,
that... Well, you'll go to the next page and then
okay.
Yeah, the next page will show the breakdown a little bit.
Okay.
So. And then again, we've just got the pie chart where it shows just how those things are broken up. And this actually, I believe, might be broken up by... budget category. No, it is. It's by actual, because materials and services was much higher than your personal services just so far this year.
Okay.
Then the other things that I already mentioned the debt payment, and we haven't booked the interfund transfers. And let's go on to the last page where all the detail is. And again, this is where you see the mirror image of those interfund transfers in. You see the funds where they come from. So as Rick said, there's a lot of transfers out of the general fund, that $409,000, that's where we see that. And that goes into various assorted funds on the revenue side.
And Mayor, there's your $40,000 in capital in the general fund at the top.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. See that $40,000 on the capital line? See, you haven't spent any of it. That's what we'll do, our speaker sound system and stuff like that.
Right.
Okay.
And the largest amount budgeted is in the SDC fund, and is that, and that's just in case there's something that needs to be done there, I believe, so. And you'll see capital outlay in both the water and sewer fund as well. And streets is a large part of that.
Yeah, so we put capital for the SDC at $500,000. I mean, we don't, who knows, I mean, I don't know if we'll have a project to spend this year. You know, that just sits there. Mm. But if you don't put it down, you can't spend it.
But
we'll spend a couple hundred at Wikia.
But it's there. Sewer.
It's there.
Yeah.
So the fact is that isn't spent. You might end here and not spend it.
Right. Okay.
Because those things are multi-million dollar projects and it carries forward. Okay.
So overall, everything's looking good. Nothing is jumping out at me as, you know, where we would be in trouble of going over budget, the revenues, you know, getting the revenues that we're budgeted for. So, you know, so far it looks great for the first quarter of the year.
What is our long-term debt service on water? Do we know that? Is
yes.
that something?
Yeah, in that budget line, we budget for the exact amount. So if you look down there at the bottom where it says debt service budgeted $195,000.
Is that our annual?
Mm-hmm, that's the annual interest and principal.
For the loan, the
right.
Yeah. Water district loan.
Right.
There's two of them.
And it is due, part of it, the one is due in November, so, and they sent us a notice saying they're taking it out in November. The other smaller one, I'm not sure when that's due, but yeah, you'll see that in the November financial, so we'll spend a pretty substantial portion of the budget. It's that first payment's due.
The loan.
Yeah, there's $45,000 budgeted for debt service in the general fund. And that, again, that loan payment hasn't come due either.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any questions, counsel?
Or yes.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Excuse myself.
Thank you for coming down. Thanks for a good job. There's your first quarter.
All right.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Less expenses and better income. So, I always say we're going to stay solvent.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Quarterly update for LED.
Clicker,
Janet. Oh, thanks.
It should be coming up any second.
Yeah, put the print out of the. Okay.
I never see that.
I think for the record, who you are?
I'm Janet Burton. I'm the Area Economic Development Manager for the Lafayette and Sun River.
Thank you, Janet.
And thank you for the opportunity to give you an update tonight. In July, the Economic Development Advisory Board came up with a 3-year strategic plan, and we had 6 objectives or goals on the plan, and I'm not sure if you have a printed copy of our strategic plan, but if not, I'll make sure that you get it. And I'm not going to go into the detail of the plan tonight, but really just touch on the overall kind of objectives. One of the first things that we really felt as Economic Development Board was that we lacked a unified and compelling brand identity and marketing strategy. We felt we weren't really leading with the most distinctive and competitive strengths. We had a need to overcome a dated and inaccurate image for the area. There's new infrastructure projects happening, revitalization programs, and also the upcoming 10-year anniversary that we really needed to capture and reshape the image that has been out there. So we are undertaking an effort to engage a branding agency to help us with that, to come up with kind of what is unique about Lapine that we can really market that to businesses that are looking to come to the area and families that are looking to come and relocate in the area. Travel Oregon has graciously given us a $10,000 grant to go out and start this effort. So right now we're gathering proposals from branding agencies, and then we'll narrow that down to come up with one branding agency that we feel best understands the needs of the community and what we're trying to achieve in developing that message that we want to get out to businesses and to tourists, I mean, obviously, as well. So that was kind of our number one goal. The second one was building employment and diversification in our traded sector. And some of the kind of the progress that we've seen is wood products is continuing to grow in the community, and in many other communities it's actually decreasing. Quicksilver contracting company is going through an expansion right now. They will have 5 to 10 new jobs due to that expansion, and they are actually working with WorkSource right now to start hiring. They'll probably only hire 1 to 2 this year, and then when they get their equipment up and running next year, they'll start hiring the additional people. COIC, which was here earlier today, Council of Intergovernmental Council, they're developing a wood products and a biofuel, what they're calling a cluster. They've been given a USDA grant to start looking at those industries within Central Oregon. And we will be kind of part of that effort of how we can maximize wood products in Central Oregon, grow that business, and also how can we look at using the biofuels that's available in the area as well. Cascade Divide, which is a data center company, we have a new purchase option agreement signed with them, and they're actively looking for tenants to hopefully build, they will build the building, but they're looking for tenants to come and to the industrial park. We're ideally located here for data centers. We've got a great climate for it. We have low seismic activity. We have the available land. So we're a good area for data centers in Central Oregon here. I'm also working with some other startup companies, and these are truly in the early stages right now. A medical device technology company, they actually are beta testing their product, which means that they are trying it. This company is targeting the equine market, even though their product also works on humans. You would say it's a kind of a physiotherapy device, but it's very innovative, And they've, University of Denver has just kind of undertaken a study to work with them to bring their product to a reality, really. Some of the others are specialty eyewear product, food products. We've got a couple of food product groups that are really our food product companies that are trying to get started, and I'm trying to connect them with resources, whether it's capital resources, business planning, etc. I have here site selectors generating a checklist. One of the things is that when state site selectors are looking for a place to locate a company, they have a list of questions that they want answered in a very short turnaround. We had a situation about a week ago where we got a request to give us some information back to a company. We're working on making sure that we have that information ahead of time so that we're ahead of the game. If we get a request, we know exactly what we have, what we can use as a competitive advantage. And then developing a business resource package. Part of that is adding on new materials to the website. So if a business is looking to locate here, or if local businesses want to grow and expand their business, they know where to go for resources. So with Corey and Rick, we're developing more materials that businesses will easily be able to find what they need, whether it's how they get a permit, where they could find capital resources, where they could get help with developing their business plans, where they can find a site to start a business or to expand a business. Resources for business. Supply chain opportunities, and I put this up. Tony DeBon and myself recently went and visited with Prineville Railroad, and the reason I'm putting that up there is that we're trying to look long term at the viability of our community. Whether we'll ever have rail access in the industrial park, we may or we may not, but we're trying to put the questions into place ahead of time and see, is there a need? What would it take to do that? What's it going to cost? Is it viable? COIC is actually really starting to look at trying to expand rail through Central Oregon, even growing Prineville Railroad bigger, especially since the port in Portland, Hajan, and some of the other but basically where they transported goods out of Portland, now any Central Oregon companies have to really ship up to Seattle, which is really hurting our companies here in Central Oregon because of the additional costs. So if they could have rail as an additional transportation route, that would be of a great benefit. But we're talking about stuff maybe 10, 20 years in the distance. You know, we're not talking about something that's going to happen tomorrow. But we want to start asking those questions early now to see what would it take to bring rail to the industrial park if it made economic sense, if there was a demand, if it could justify the costs in doing that. Workforce identification issues. Throughout Central Oregon, workforce, getting qualified workforce, employees that are ready to move into business has been kind of a constant challenge. Some of our biggest employers are Sun River Resort and Mount Bachelor. I mean, the Sun River Resort, probably about 40% of their employees come from Lapine or south of Sun River Resort. We're working with Sun River Resort and hopefully Mount Bachelor as well as Lapine High School to look at a program that would generate year-round employment between those two entities so that somebody could work at Sun River Resort in the summer and then go over and work in Mount Bachelor during the winter months. So you're looking at more year-round employment rather than having just 3 or 4 months of employment at one place or the other. The possibility of generating some kind of a benefits package is also being discussed, which would be obviously an added incentive to get employees, because that's always a challenge, is like how do they get health care, especially for hourly wage employees. But Sun River Resort really wants to partner with Lapine to generate that more permanent workforce for the resort. Business data, St. Charles is I think most people are aware that in probably 2017 we will have the St. Charles Clinic here. They've asked me to work with them to develop an economic impact statement of if the clinic is here, how does it impact our workforce? What kind of new revenue does it bring to the city by having a clinic here? So I'm working with Damon Rumberg, who is with the Employment Commission, to generate that, to show basically the value of bringing the clinic here. We've done a letter of support for Connect Oregon for Sun River Resort to expand and enhance their airport. And while that airport is never going to be a commercial airport, still with improvements to the services that are available there, it still makes us more competitive in the area. The other letter of support we've done is for the Caldera Springs expansion. That could generate probably about $400 million in the area here, and that would be, I mean, direct employment. Some of that employment would be just during the construction phase, but there's also more employment long-term in services that would be generated by having an expanded resort in Caldera, such as, I mean, you'd have housekeeping, but grounds, maintenance keeping, just general maintenance service, as well as just bringing a better economic tax base to the county. Now, that doesn't necessarily generate city money here, but still we would get the benefit of having the county grow, and employment that would mainly come from south of Sun River. We have worked with two companies to look at opportunities in the industrial park for locating their businesses. That's still undergoing. I was able to work with another local company that's looking to expand, to link them in with Business Oregon and Capital Resources for their expansion. And then working with six early stage companies to try to help them get off the ground. Now, in the next time I give you an update, maybe we'll have some more. You know, a lot of times you'll work with maybe 10 or 20 companies and one company might be successful. But still, we just want to generate as much effort to show our support and to bring resources where business is needed. One of the other strategic objectives was to look at partnering better with other community partners, such as the Chamber of Commerce here in Lapine, and also Sun River Chamber of Commerce, and also Parks and Rec, the adult education, because kind of the four groups, including LED, are all touching on many of the same things, and it's how we can work together to reduce overlapping efforts, to increase effectiveness, and to close the gaps in services. We had our first meeting on November 5th to talk about how we can better work together on kind of common interests and goals, and that will be kind of a quarterly meeting that we will have. We've also developed a Lapine Sun River Business Resource Guide that will be available on the website as a web page, but also as a printed kind of PDF document as well. And we're days away from having that completed. And again, that will give a list to any businesses that are looking for resources, again, whether it's business planning, whether they need, you know, financial resources, capital funding, anything that we feel that a business would need will be in that directory that they can have, you know, website contact, phone contact, etc. Assist the non-traded sector. I mean, LED is mainly focused on non-traded sector, which means on businesses that 75% of their goods or services are sold outside and are not direct, like a retail store or a food service business. But because we're a small community here, I mean, my role is working with some of those local businesses as well to give support where I can, whether it's, you know, connecting them with another resource or gathering information for them. I did participate with the recent RDI project, our effort on developing a business survey, and that was really sending out a survey to businesses to find out what their business needs were, where were the areas we could kind of partner to do education or training. And career fair was one of the things that came out of that. And tomorrow night there will be a meeting to kind of talk about moving that forward, and that was working with the high school, but also that would be open to the community to bring local businesses in to talk about what the opportunities. And I would say a career fair rather than a jobs fair, because some of these businesses may not have a job open at this time, but it's to give exposure to high school students and to others in the community about what the business is about, what type of skills a business would look for, you know, what you would need to work at that business, and to try and get a better sense and link with our high school students to show they can stay in the community and there are opportunities. And then the last one is really improve the business climate for Lapine Sun River. And that was, I think I've really already covered that, is to really improve the availability and accessibility of economic development information for businesses. And also for us to really start marketing our resources outside of the area. So I feel like the last few months have been kind of like building little building blocks and trying to get those together, and then we can kind of take the next step of really marketing ourselves when we get some of these initial building blocks together. So any questions that I can answer?
Council?
No questions. I'm just always excited to see something, you know. I know you're building on everything, and it's going to be exciting when it finally opens up.
Yeah.
What I look forward to.
Sydney, anything about the career fair? What do you think?
I think it's a really big opportunity for a lot of high school students, because that's where like I went to try and find a job. I didn't get a job through there, but I thought it was like a really good first step for me finding my first job. But I find it really helpful. I think more businesses other than just Sun River would be good to have, because sometimes there's like a lot of people who can't make it to Sun River to work, and then that
thing's really great. Yeah. No, we definitely will have like Mid-State Electric and some of the, you know, we've kind of thought of like almost like a speed dating, where you'd have the business and the students will circulate around the table. So, a good effort. Thank you.
She's doing a good job, and Corey and I work with her a lot. And just today, her and I were in here with one person and another walk-in for the industrial park. Someone from Bend, and Corey took him upstairs. And so Corey was up the little table upstairs, laying out maps and things, and we were in here with another one, which was scheduled.
Yeah.
But so that's what you do. You drop what you're doing. We didn't know that guy was coming in. He's a former Oregon State Senator, actually. So I knew him. He just showed up. He didn't know I was here. It was kind of interesting. But he has investments in Madras and Bend and Redmond. And so, you know, immediately sent Corey up. Helped, and then I went up and sat with them for a half hour, and so you know that's the kind of thing that goes on. So you take an hour out of your day that wasn't anticipated, but that's why we're here. It works so good. And then Janet took off her noon lunch, so she had to go do that. So anyway, it's amazing how many people are kicking tires. But you know what? If they're not kicking them, you'll never get them. It's like fishing.
Yeah.
I mean.
And Janet, we do have the strategic, so we're good.
Okay.
Well, as the council's representative to the LED committee, I need to let you know that Janet is doing a very good job for the city and for EDCO in general. And on this branding that the LED organization is working on, she had to take the arrows. because that was a hot topic. You know, you hear all this about branding and the discussion of, is lead going to brand? Is the city going to brand? And do they complement each other? Who takes the lead? You know, there was a big discussion, and poor Janet bore the brunt of it. And as you can see, she weathered it well. So I think she is representing Lapine's economic development very well.
When it came to branding, if you want to know how it was going, can you picture a bus but with three steering wheels?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it doesn't drive well.
With a flat tire.
So, yeah. So you know, a couple had to be kicked to the back of the bus.
Yeah.
That's good.
No, we actually let them sit in the second row.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Authorized city manager to enter into professional service agreement, Beacon Engineer.
Well, Mr. Beacon is here, sitting in the back. Eric, you know, we went out for an RFP back quite a while ago. We need to have an engineer of record that reviews stuff on our behalf. And we really have, we've been doing it for almost a year, quite a few months with Eric, but never under an agreement. All cities have an engineer of record. And so, like, say someone's going to build something, he looks at it on our behalf, works with Scott a lot. Scott will talk to you about the technical stuff, and they'll go back and forth. Don't you think, Scott, it's helpful to have a...
Absolutely.
You have to. No.
We do.
So, Dick Norad did it, basically for the districts. And so, Eric works for us, and another thing is he's willing to just jump on something. You can email him anytime, talk to him anytime. It's 15 minutes, 10 minutes. We'll meet in Bend. He'll come down. So, anyway, there it is. It's open-ended. Like, it's kind of like hiring your attorney. If we use him, we pay. The rates are in there. Depends on who in his firm is doing the work, if they're surveying. Sometimes his wages will be charged, or his monthly bill will be charged to water and sewer if it's dealing with water and sewer. If it's planning, we'll put it toward planning. If it's general government, we'll put it there. And sometimes it's split up, depending on, you know, what he's doing. But it's great to have someone like him. And we put out RFP. We had other people did put their names in, but we settled on Eric. And he is sister's engineer of record, so it works good working with both the smaller cities.
Okay.
So if you guys are authorized, the mayor actually to sign that. I think it said me, but it's got your name on the bottom if you look there, about the middle of it. So we can get him started December 1st. Officially.
Is there any questions, Council? Is there any discussion? If not, is there a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the professional services agreement with Beacon Engineering for an engineer of record?
So moved.
It's been moved.
Second down here. Second here.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 It's unanimous. We have an engineer.
Mr. Mayor, if you want to sign it, we'll have Eric sign it before you go. Eric, did you want to say anything?
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You know, engineers, they're short on words.
Well, at least we see it at all the meetings. You know, we
yes.
Come down here a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
very much. Interest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that really made it easy.
All those in favor? Did I do that already?
Yes.
Okay. Opposed? We have an engineer record. Okay. Here it is.
Good.
You want two copies?
I can
that other document was the fire department. Did you sign that, Kim?
I did.
Yes, sir. Take that.
Patty,
the fire department. He lost the one we had signed, but his board chair signed it. So.
And
then email that back to Mike Selfis. Scan that and do the fire with Mike.
Email it to him?
Yeah, because that way it's got our full signature.
Thank you, Andrew.
We're now to approval of purchase of 2.1 water mitigation credits. I think I can just input right here that We had a work session where we discussed this today, and is there any discussion at this point? If there isn't, then is there a motion to approve or authorize the city manager to move forward on the purchase of 2.1 water mitigation credits?
$22,000.
It's moved?
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. And our next one is code enforcement update.
1 second, Mr. Mayors. Delay. Yes, so code enforcement update on the activity that's been going on in the last few weeks. And the first item I will start with has actually been going on for a lot longer than the last few weeks. How long is that? Railroad?
A long time.
Leave it at that. So there was going to be a large cleanup last week out there, essentially the abatement that we went through the entire legal process for. There's going to be a county worker down there. It was going to take up all of my time, all of Rick's, public works guys. It was going to be a big ordeal. Well, Scott and I went and visited the site, and with compliance from the property owner, and we walked the perimeter, and although I would not say it has a lot of curbside appeal, it certainly showed a lot of improvement. And so what we did was, instead of having the entire cleanup, we had a vehicle towed away, and there may be others that will happen in the next week or two. And then there was also a dumpster that was placed right where one of the RVs was. So we traded an RV for a dumpster, and he is going to continue to clean up that property. And I'm going to be working with the property owner to monitor that and make sure that we are, in essence, assisting that process by, if he fills the dumpster, we'll put another one down. So instead of it being, it turned out to be more of a, I don't know the right term to put it, joint effort is a good way to put it. And so there's progress being made there, and ideally resolution on that instance will happen in the next 2 weeks. So there is still pressure being applied, put it that way.
It was, you know, just to close on that.
Yeah, please.
It was, you know, why it came in, we had to add, we talked about $10,000, you know, and then I got the county to agree to pay half of whatever we spent. And, you know, if you kind of don't let emotion take you over and you actually engage the other side of your brain, I was really struggling with it all week as to what we should do. I mean, I figured this side, you know, was telling me one thing, and I'm looking at the other. You know, I just try to come down back to common sense that the property is about 11 months from a foreclosure, most likely. It has lots of problems that we could never clean up. Yeah. So spending $10,000 is probably not the best use of the money, again, based on where that property is with foreclosure and other realities. The next property, that could be totally different. And so, you know, and then I called him. I called Mr. Tinbush. And he talked to me very pleasantly. And he said, you know, it's not perfect by any means, but I have done a bunch. And he said, would you come out and look? And so that was on Thursday, and I was in Madras. And so Corey and Scott went over that next day, or you called him They went out that afternoon, and he met him in the gate and let him walk around and look at everything, take photos. And yeah, it is, he had cleaned up quite a bit now. There's a lot to clean up. So it's all somewhat, you know. But he then said, I said, you know, because the county was going to split the dump cost with us, I said, what if we left you a dumpster? Because part of the problem is, what do you do with it? You don't have a rig to get it somewhere. And I said, if we left you a dumpster, and we worked with the county on that, because we were going to pay to dump it anyway. So instead of having Scott and picking it up, he's doing it, if you think about it. And he said, that would be great help. So they went out, they met the next morning, the tow truck came, they towed off one trailer, and he then is going to fill it. Corey's going to keep checking if we need to bring him a second one, bring him a second one. And I think we're going to try to get the tires picked up in a separate deal and take care of that because the county will split that with us. So anyway, you know, we probably get out of there for $1,000, $1,500 and split it or something. I mean, it's just going to be pretty reasonable. And, you know, I think we have actually a reasonably happy landowner. The court did force him to come to the table, which it did. We got somewhat what we want, and again, each is situational.
And we were able to test our...
We test our ordinance worked in court. So that's where I came down. And was there any rhyme or reason? I mean, I just was kept thinking about it, and so I called him and said, pull the sheriff. Let's not go invade the guy's place with 10 people, you know. And that's what we did. Whether it was right or wrong, I don't know. But
I think it was a very good, you know, because it is looking cleaner, great, every day. It's making an effort, but it sort of sets a bad example for the, you know, if I let my property go to heck, he's going to give me a dumpster. So
we've done it before. It's nothing that we put in the front page of the paper. I think that you have to think them all through, and you know, the average person isn't going to do that. If someone's going to let their place go to heck for 5 or 10 years because the city's going to put a dumpster out there, yeah.
Right.
But I agree with you. I mean, it's why it's nothing that, you know.
Good. Okay. He's lived in the area forever, and there's been problems, and I think he knows that the city is serious, and he also realizes that the city is understanding. So I think he did the right thing. I really do. I think both of you did the right thing. And he knows that if it doesn't happen, we'll be back. So I...
And we weren't going to be able to recover the money very easily
through
the foreclosure thing. And so I couldn't get my arms around it. And then if you spend money on the legal fees, you always have to look at the kind of the big picture.
I think it also speaks to getting to the apex and there's, and all you do is jump off either side. A solution from all the efforts that have been put into it came about. And I think Stu's talking about, you know, he's lived there forever. He's come to the table. He sees the city's amenable to working with him. I think it's a win.
And neighbors have noticed it. Other former officials were there.
Yeah.
That would be interesting if those officials visited your house. But they were there and they thought it had been picked up.
Yeah. So I think you get a lot of goods out of this. So, Kathy, anything?
No, I think it's wonderful. That was a difficult decision, I know, because...
Well, you know, when you work on it, you've been to court, you've spent months working on it. You know how you can get caught up in it. You have to kind of, like I say, take a step back.
Yeah, it's the right thing.
You been sitting anything?
I'm glad to see that it's making progress from what we saw last time at the last meeting.
Okay. Karen?
Good job.
Okay. Great. Rory's got one.
Yeah, and looking at a couple more of what I would maybe call average code enforcement type cases, we have also sent out in the last 3 weeks 4 letters to property owners, and these were not specific code complaint forms that came in. These were shared, and this has been brought up at staff meetings for Public Works, to if they see something, share it with myself, and then I can go investigate. And so one of those came through, and then I just had spent some time kind of driving around the city, and I found one in sort of each quadrant, let's put it that way, so I wasn't just focusing on one area. Remarkably so, we've had pretty good results in those letters that went out in the last couple weeks. So this is an example of, you know, nothing too egregious, but certainly, you know, what you consider an eyesore. And I know it had been there for a while. I don't know if it was 3 months or 6 months or how long, but we wrote a letter. We sent it to the property owner. Rick received a phone call, and
that is on this.
This is not William.
That is preparing for a yard sale.
Yeah.
But you know, I worked through these.
So this was on October 28th, and we sent a letter, and within a week and a half, Dang. And it's cleaned up.
Must have a successful garage sale.
So, yeah, very successful garage sale. Congratulations to them. It looks much nicer. And then another example, and this is also a priority for code enforcement. I know certainly the unsightliness of junk and trash is one thing, but really RVs as homes or dwellings is an issue in this area. And so if you look right here, this is the, to use Scott's technical term, the effluent, I believe, coming out of the trailer and right onto the ground. So we had sent a letter about this, and the property, I noticed earlier today that it was gone, and Rick had actually just received a call from the property owner telling us that, right in between the work session and this. And so we've also received a call back from the property owner for a trailer on Morrison that will be moved in the next, we're told, couple of weeks. And then there's also been one more letter sent out to a property owner up on Doe Lane in the Cable area. So the approach, the overall strategy, I think that's the operative word, is going to be, you know, you send out a round of these letters, call it five to ten maybe, whatever's manageable. And if you reach resolution on a few, you put out another wave. And you can't continue to put out 10, 20, because you have to manage them. Some, you know, will not be as easy as this, but some will be, and that's good to see.
So those three he sent out. So he gets them already, then I review them,
yeah,
and I sign them, and then the people call me.
Yeah.
And so we got the one, it was 2 weeks ago, we sent out three, and all three are cleaned up and gone.
Wow.
Okay. And two of the three are absentee owners, and so when you send it, the owners get served, and they immediately get on the tenants. And in each case, though, they did know that they had allowed them on, but they have, it's there's always a story, you know, that they call and say, can my relative who, you know, broke their leg, needs to stay in my yard for a week. Well, that was a year ago. But they jumped right on, so we had 100%. Now, the one is still a couple weeks out, we'll see if it happens, but the lady called me in California and said that it would be gone. And I gave her a month to move it out because there's someone in it. And she said, I'm going to try to get it out in 2 weeks. So we'll see, and we'll monitor that. But that was 100% at this point. And then the other one we just sent out.
Mm-hmm. That just went out today. That took a little more preparation. And then one other facet that I'd like to add on to this is that with the RVs and the trailers in particular, I'll be sharing information with John Griley, who's a Deschutes County Code Enforcement Officer. And we actually didn't realize this, he shared with me, we have a contract with them to deal with the solid waste on grounds, you know, not going where they should be. And so, and they have, the county has strong codes that they can impose on people to get those cleaned up. So there will be some partnership there, working on those specific.
So that's two RVs gone,
so
just in there. And then the one we found today is, mm-hmm, we think there's four.
That's going to be a little more.
It'll take a little more complicated. That's a little higher lift. There's four on one property with no house and no electricity.
And then so my hope is to get in sort of a rhythm of, you know, you get some of these resolved, and then you either look if there's code complaints, or you talk to Public Works, people who are out there every day, or you go and you try to find another round of these letters. So it's going to be a...
Corey gets his elk hunting outfit on, and him and I are out
in
the neighbor's property,
yeah,
going through the bushes, because you can't see this from the road. So you're out there trying to look for the neighbors to get photos, and you see them little outhouses, all of it.
So, you have a better sense of humor talking about this than I do. I'll get that. I'll work on it. So if there's any questions or comments, look for more of these updates in the future.
That's great.
And
that's great. I'm glad you got a head start on those.
Sure.
You know, like even a couple letters every 2 months or under a month. I mean, you can't do everything at one time. But
I always want to have a few, I think, out in the field,
because
I think the way to think about
it. I'm happy you're taking it.
And as long as there's, so that's going to continue to be a priority. So.
Okay. And back on the railroad thing, I just bet you before I forget it, the lights look great.
There's still a few more coming. There's one down on the corner at Cagle, so that when you turn in right there, and then there's three more coming.
Oh, good.
And I went by twice to look at it at night. And yeah, I definitely, you know, it's not meant to light it up like down here at First Street, but it definitely makes the street alive and, you know.
Are these on poles?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, when you're going home, well, you just swing down Hagel, I mean down, okay. You see. And like I say, there's some more going up. I did go every other pole. Now, you eyeball, I mean, obviously it'd be more lit if you did every pole, but doubles are
our
feet. Yeah. So I thought this was a good start, you know, at this point. But I, yeah, thank you.
They're nice, they aren't overly bright.
Haven't had one call to my knowledge, have we?
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, Railroad, we've got one or two more maybe to work on. I mean, one that burned down, you know, that one's, they've been working on that. One of the dumpsters has been over there, and I've seen them working.
Yeah, they burned one up.
Did they? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's just part of doing business.
Yep.
There's maybe one or two little leaves, but we've got one, you know, we got like one camper that's skirted and nice. That has been there for years, and it's skirted and flowered and everything. And again, you know, everything is situated. You have to look at them, and we're going to give them a year. That looks like someone has, you know, it's very well kept. Yet, still, it's a violation. But they're not dumping. They're not treating it like the others. And so, you know, in that case, my plan is to say you have 1 year to move it, because the hardship of finding a rental right now is difficult.
Yeah. Yes.
And I don't know who lives there, but again, this isn't in a textbook. You just kind of work your way through them, and I think that's the best way. And then I think that street will be pretty good, and then we'll pick, well, the other one's the next street over, which we've got a couple going. Then, I don't know if I'll go down near Santa Barbara and see what we can do. That, you know, we got a real heavy lifter down in there, so we'll see where that goes. But. We'll work our way.
And I'm liking it that you're doing it without a neighbor complaining.
Makes it easier.
I mean, then you aren't having neighbor battles.
Yeah. And you know that actually, we're one of the only few jurisdictions that does that.
It's amazing. Deschutes County requires that you can't file an anonymous. It's anonymous until the case is resolved, and then the name is disclosed, which doesn't seem like that policy.
This is small enough where you should know what's going on, and you do.
You shouldn't need to have the neighbor sign it. If you see it, it's okay if they come let you know, because you might not know it. Mm-hmm. But that's a technical thing where they say, well, even though we see it, we can't do anything until the neighbor signs it. That's mm-hmm. It's kind of a cop-out. We're not doing that. Mm-hmm. I know you guys don't want that. Too small a town.
Yeah. Any further comments, Council? Hearing none, maybe you'll continue on into the website.
Yes, please. Just a few minutes on this. And really, I just wanted to share that with my time here so far and working with staff and Janet, thinking about the city's presence, not only for us serving the community, but outsiders looking at Lapine and thinking about kind of our digital presence. And how we communicate with people. And so I think naturally the first place is, you know, if you Google Lapine, it's either going to be Wikipedia or it's going to be this website. And from my understanding, this was created a few years ago, and it, at least my time exploring it, there hasn't been much updates to it since. So it is, for a couple of purposes, it's a priority for us to update all of the pages that are within the website, and that's going to be an ongoing process. We've kind of set an internal goal, let's put it that way, of the new year, and we're hoping to hit that. So, not asking for necessarily permission, but definitely wanting to share with you that we're going to be making a change to the front page as well. And when you think about going on a website and you're looking for information, the more clicks you make, the more discouraged you get and the less likely you are to keep going to find what you're looking for. So in order to simplify things and also to expand sort of the business tab, as well as all the other tabs, but business in particular, with expanding, Janet's been working really hard to put together a robust set of materials that'll go on there, economic development related, A to Z, you know, business looking to start here, what do you need? You'll find it there. So when you drop down, you know, there's only one tab for you to click on, and then it bumps you into another page, or you know, you can get lost navigating. So the alternative is going to be switching to, and Ashley and I sat in with AHA Consulting, who built our website, and they also built this website, is switching to a thing called a mega menu, which if you hover over the community tab, it gives you a whole drop down. And then you can look at that and reassess, okay, where am I? I knew I wanted to go to community or city services. Or if you hover over business and development, which is probably what the new title for our tab will be, it'll come down to this. You know, are you looking for signs? It's over there on the bottom left. Are you looking for city bids and RFPs? Are you looking for, we'll have a ton of EDCO information, economic development, not just EDCO in particular, but economic development information on there. And it'll essentially just be easier to navigate for people who are coming and looking for information. One of my favorite expressions is, you know, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And I think more and more people are using the internet and websites to make those, you know, kind of impressions. And the more updated and appealing and informative we can have our website, the better. So kind of just want to put it on your radar, say that is a priority we're going to be working on in between all the other things over the next couple of months. And making this structural change, and then updating pages, and going from there. So, I think that was a few minutes. Any questions?
No. Let's go.
All right.
I love it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I think the economic development one we want to start with, because that's so important with everything going on.
Yeah.
And will they have? I mean, they'll be charged with the coming up with the information. I mean, who's going to be the...
So we will pay AHA Consulting a sum. I think it was quoted at $400 to make this change.
Right.
And then staff will be creating and updating
the content.
Managing the content. Okay. Ashley and I sat in on a website, how to work with the content. Patty already does a lot of that. She's pretty familiar with it. So it'll be a team
effort. Well, a lot of it's already there. If you hit click on signs, you're going to go to our sign ordinance and things
right. Like
that. Yeah. And other things.
Yeah. The
pages
are a little sparse. But
some of ours are spread around weird.
My comment was really around, LED has some specifics that they're going to say, you know, we see this need here, mm-hmm. and they'll help with the content.
Yeah, Janet will... Yeah, facilitate
okay.
that process
that was all.
And make sure that, yeah. And as this unfolds, you know, I'll be sharing and obviously encouraging you to visit the website and offer your input. But in the meantime, we'll be moving forward on this for the next couple of months. So.
Can we have our pictures taken out?
Oh!
Please.
Updated, not
updated.
Taken out. Please.
Send us a new one, we'll put it in.
Yeah. So
okay, thank you very much. Let me see. Other matters? We don't have any other matters. We can go to public comment. Any public comment? I don't see any hands. Therefore, I will go to staff comments for closing.
Next month, we will meet on a regular ninth meeting because the Planning Commission will be the next week, so we won't do what we did this month. So it'll be I think it's the 9th, May.
Yes.
9th. Yes, we'll meet on the 9th. We will probably have an executive session at 5. We've got a couple issues. One's kind of a marijuana related, and the second is bio-rate.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're doing this agreement. I've just been in here when others were doing things, editing the bio-rate agreement. We got a proposal out to them, and then they have a lot of comments back. So there's a few questions we want to ask on that. So, anyways, that's fine. We'll just do that. That'd be our because the next meeting would be about Christmas Eve or something, so we won't be meeting then. But if we need a work session that following week, we can do one because there is a couple of things.
Yeah.
We probably are going to have a work session. Maybe we'll have to do it on a Tuesday. You're doing it during the day on Wednesday. You know, if it works like we did today, if that works. Then the Planning Commission doesn't get. Because they've got some things that they want to do. And speaking on planning, we met
with our attorneys, and so we are sending out probably this week the our approval, basically, or our stuff on the apartment project. So we've been working through that, and they gave us a 30-day extension, and so otherwise it had to go out Tuesday. But they wanted extended, and there were a couple things we agreed to, and a couple things we didn't. So that thing's going to be sent to them, and then that's our decision, and then that will they can decide what to do with that. So that will be done.
Okay, good.
And we're going to start getting, I think we need to start, we're going to start getting, I'm going to have Patty to start calling, reminding people on business licenses, the people who haven't bought, those who bought last year and didn't buy this year. So, you know, we're going to kind of have to take that up another notch. It's just, you have to kind of keep on that to get people into the tune of that.
Would a phone call or a letter work better than a phone call?
Oh,
you know, a renewal letter, just, you know.
We've done rounds of those. It might even be to a point to where it's an on-site visit.
No, I think first make a phone call.
Well, yeah.
You're busy.
Of course.
We'll start calling them and, you know, just remind, say, hey, you know, we haven't received your business license. You know, if you have any questions, call us. It's, you know, as we say, it's Ben that took, Ben didn't get 5% or something like other businesses the first year. This takes a while. But if you don't stay at it, it'll drop backwards on you. And so I just, you know, I brought that up to you guys just so, because that's one of those ones you always say, well, I hear this. Yeah, you're going to hear that. So it's just something, unless you tell us not, you don't want us to do it.
Any quick comment around your deadline or what you're working on seriously
tomorrow
for Friday?
Yeah, Corey will be working on it. He'll be sending to me, and we are. Do we hunt out the last? We are going to be applying for the called the east side of the road. We got $1 million to do the west side, which we talked about today, to do the streetscape. We will be applying for probably $1.5 million for the east side. Now, that'll be about a 2-year approval process, and then the money for that doesn't come till 19 to 21 or 22. So this is how many years you have to do all this out. But that's what you do. So don't, tomorrow he's got to spend hours on that. Yeah, that's what people don't understand. They think about the things you're doing, but then no, we're worried about stuff in 2020. So we'll be working on that because we have to get it in on Friday. So that will be good. We'll see where we go with that.